Scaramouche, A Romance of the French Revolution by Raphael Sabatini. Narrated by Simon Vance. This unabridged audiobook was produced in the year 2011 by Tantor Media Incorporated, which holds the copyright thereto. Book 1. The Robe. Chapter 1. The Republican. He was born with a gift of laughter, and a sense that the world was mad, and that was all his patrimony. His very paternity was obscure, although the village of Gavrillac had long since dispelled the cloud of mystery that hung about it. Those simple Brittany folk were not so simple as to be deceived by a pretended relationship which did not even possess the virtue of originality. When a nobleman, for no apparent reason, announces himself the godfather of an infant fetched no man knew whence, and thereafter cares for the lad's rearing and education, the most unsophisticated of country folk perfectly understand the situation. And so the good people of Gavrillac permitted themselves no illusions on the score of the real relationship between André-Louis Moreau, as the lad had been named, and Quentin de Kercadou, Lord of Gavrillac, who dwelt in the big grey house that dominated from its eminence the village clustering below. André-Louis had learnt his letters at the village school, lodged the while with old Rabouillet, the attorney, who in the capacity of fiscal attendant looked after the affairs of Monsieur de Kercadou. Therefore, at the age of 15, he had been packed off to Paris, to the Lycée of Louis le Grand, to study the law, which he was now returned to practice in conjunction with Rabouillet. All this at the charges of his godfather, Monsieur de Kercadou, who, by placing him once more under the tutelage of Rabouillet, would seem thereby quite clearly to be making provision for his future. André-Louis, on his side, had made the most of his opportunities. You behold him at the age of 24, stuffed with learning enough to produce an intellectual indigestion in an ordinary mind. Out of his zestful study of man, from Thucydides to the encyclopaedists, from Seneca to Rousseau, he had confirmed into an unassailable conviction his earliest conscious impressions of the general insanity of his own species. Nor can I discover that anything in his eventful life ever afterwards caused him to waver in that opinion. In body he was a slight wisp of a fellow, scarcely above middle height, with a lean, astute countenance, prominent of nose and cheekbones, and with lank, black hair that reached almost to his shoulders. His mouth was long, thin-lipped, and humorous. He was only just redeemed from ugliness by the splendour of a pair of ever-questing, luminous eyes, so dark as to be almost black. Of the whimsical quality of his mind, and his rare gift of graceful expression, his writings, unfortunately but too scanty, and particularly his confessions, afford us very ample evidence.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?